Hey, this is Irene. I've been waiting for you. Thank you for joining me, mixing it up with me right here on the mix. You're listening to CBiz Media.
Hi, looking for affordable, inspirational gifts? Check out our store at cbiztvmedia.com. That's cbiztvmedia.com, and click on our store. Or you can email us at cbiztv@yahoo.com. And we'll send you that link. Thank you. All right, so I'm back talking about the Married at First Sight Season 17 recap chat. Last time we introduced all of the couples, and this show is a reality show based on literally getting married at first sight. Experts pick your partner according to your personality, your career, your goals, your age range, and all of these different things. And they pick the best partner out of the pool of people that have decided to audition to be a part of the show. And so they really just literally get married at first sight, and they go through a journey process of so many weeks. And at the end of that, they get to decide, you know, they don't just have to stay married. They do get to decide if they can continue their marriage or get the D word, and that is divorced. So it's a crazy season. I, again, don't follow Married at First Sight as closely as I do 90 Day Fiancé, but, you know, I've seen some success stories in past seasons. I've seen some couples stay together. But this season, not one couple were able to stick it out. Our only gleaming hope was Michael and Chloe. And they too, at the end of the day, their relationship did not take off to marriage. So the thing about, I really wanted to talk about them because I didn't get too deep into their relationship, as I got a little deep with all the rest of them, but I didn't get too deep into theirs, but I wanted to focus on theirs too, because theirs was the most hopeful of all, and Michael was rejected by the first bride that he was set up with, so we never got to see her face or know who she was. Chloe was another choice that she didn't make on the show originally, but she was the backup person that would go good with Michael. So he was a week or so maybe behind the other couples, but their relationship was going really well and outshining the other couples, because everyone was going through, and there were issues with everyone. These two seemed to play off each other well. They seemed to ground each other. Chloe had her feelings of being an introvert, and Michael kind of, he stepped back and gave her the time she needed. He reassured her in many different ways early on in the relationship. Like, he was basically her ride or die person. He was really in it deep, and she was as well. And she was trying to figure out and navigate, but you know, he was holding her down during this whole thing. In the meantime, he was at times saying, can he borrow her pearls? And he also owns dresses, or I should say skirts. I don't know if he owns dresses, but I know that there was a skirt or two introduced in the show that he was wearing. And Chloe was, you know, at first unsure of her feelings, but she quickly accepted him. They both had rescue pets and animals. They both had the loving spirit of rescue within them, and they brought those pets together as they share the Married at First Sight apartment site. I mean, he was always complimenting her. She was always complimenting him. They were affectionate. Later on, they did show that they consummated their marriage. Things were looking pretty good until we got near the end, and Michael just became so unsure. And then as the decision day right before they come out with their decision, you see some clips, glimpses of things that we didn't see. And one of them was that Chloe wanted to adopt or foster about 5 children. He was into fostering, but he did not want to do 5 kids. And then she also wanted to have animal sanctuary and mentioned something about 500 animals. Again, that scared Michael as well. I don't think that was the full reason why he was not able to follow through, because he was the one that made that choice. Chloe talked it out and she said she wants to see how much further they can go. She doesn't want to end their ride or their relationship. That's kind of how she said yes to him. But he was reluctant and said, you know, in his mind and heart, he just wasn't ready to build a marriage with her. And it wasn't her in particular. He really cares for her and thinks she's an amazing person. But he just wasn't in the place to be the husband that he needed to be or should be to whoever his wife may be. So I just thought, found it funny that the man that was rejected by the first wife in the end rejects the woman that actually chose him at the end of the day, which is somewhat, it was sad, but it happened. They both said, you know, we're gonna still care for each other and hopefully be in each other's lives on some level. It was very amicable. They would still care for each other. I know that Chloe was hurt, but she was hiding it very well and just smiling and, you know, still being on his side. But I know a part of her was really hurting because she finally just said, you know, being a woman, just thinking of, you know, her situation, of giving herself permission to just let all the doors and walls down and just saying, okay, I want you and I accept you. It can be very hard for a woman to do that. And I'm sure it can be hard for a man, but just speaking from my perspective. But he gave her a lot of reasons to believe in him and believe that they could make things work. So I understand why she did what she did. But it was a little disheartening. When it came to the whole animal sanctuary and whatnot, she explained herself saying, you know, that's the vision that I had, but as a couple, you know, we can kind of redefine our visions together of what we want our life to be. So in a way, she was saying, you know, compromise is possible, compromise can be in play. But again, Michael just was not prepared to be her husband. He was flustered. And, you know, he was very cool, calm, collected, had a really good way with words throughout the whole series until that very end portion where he just was flustered and just said, you know, I can't be this husband. And I've noticed in my relationships at times, just when I get comfortable and just when I'm in, and she noticed that too as the relationship was going, that, you know, things were going great, but she noticed that he was starting to have doubts, and she started to have doubts because he was having doubts. But I would have doubts just because he's having doubts, because if he's having doubts, this probably is not going to happen or not going to work. But I've noticed this has happened to me too, and that's why I feel a little bit superstitious, which I know is not a good thing, to just be all in and say, oh, this is a safe relationship, a safe place to be. I feel good about this. I let my guard down. I say more. I engage more. I share more, maybe more than I'm comfortable with sharing normally, just because I trust this person. And that's basically when the rug gets pulled out from under you. And the person kind of is like, oh, now I'm the one that, you know, because he was reassuring her throughout the whole thing. And he was there for her. And he pleaded his case well, like he looks like he's this guy, the man for her. But once you get comfortable and, you know, the man senses that your guard is down and this is going to be an involved, engaged relationship, this is going to go to the next level, then again, they get scared. They get a little stuttery like Michael did. And now they become the one that's unsure, because usually I walk in unsure. They walk in super sure. And I'm like, I've never understood why guys were so sure when they didn't halfway know me. But once I get sure, then they get unsure. And things at some point, things probably will end pretty soon after that. I just noticed that as being a pattern in my past relationships. I don't know about you guys. Email me. Ladies, have you seen that as a pattern? Or gentlemen, have you seen that as a pattern in your relationships as well? I'd like to know. Email me at cbiztv@yahoo.com. That's cbiztv@yahoo.com. But yeah, I could talk about them because I was rooting for them because everyone else was disappointing me in spades. It feels like it was the guys against the girls. Emily brought up the fact that it seems like the women were putting in more work and really trying to make things work while the men were just kind of going through the motions. Brennan and Austin were accused of, you know, playing it for the optics, trying to look a certain way for the cameras, but when the cameras are off, not putting up enough consideration into the relationship in real time, or just faking it. Brennan was even accused of asking Emily to delete her diary, her confessional about him, because he thought she was painting him in a bad light. With Cameron and Claire, it seems like Cameron was with those guys, but in fact, he kind of reveals that Claire was gaslighting him, and there's a lot of secrets that Claire had and things that she didn't want him to expose. So it was kind of turned backwards on him, but from what we saw, he was just like one of the other guys, even though I don't think that he was doing things for optics as the Brennan and Austin appeared to be. Or Orion and Lauren, they just kind of were on the outs so early on that it kind of didn't matter at that point. You know, I kind of had hope for them in the beginning of the season, but it kind of just dwindled pretty quickly when it looked like they just weren't going to be able to make it. And they kind of just had their own side separate situation where the thing just wasn't going to be the thing and it just wasn't going to work. And it will be nice if it did. But with Orion and Lauren, it is a testament or a challenge or a question. Like, how much would you do? And even for all of them, really, I guess that's the point of the show. How far would you go to try to make a marriage work, even if you felt that someone was attacking your racial background? And even if it was a misunderstanding, would you always just lose trust in that person? And I think that's what happened with Orion and Lauren, is just mistrust, attacking of your nationality, attacking of your, that's almost just attacking of who you are initially. And it wasn't, I don't think, an attack, but it was just a misunderstanding, a giggle that was just offensive to him. And, you know, I can't say, oh, he shouldn't be offended in that way, because I'm sure that if someone said certain things about me and my racial background, and it may seem minute to other people, but it may be a big deal to myself. I want to share a little story. It wasn't a relationship, but someone referred to me, they knew me as a child, they were Caucasian, and I think they said they knew me when I was a nappy-headed bushy-tailed or something like that, little girl, something around that and along those lines. And you know, it was upsetting for me. It happened in the workplace scenario. And I actually wrote a letter to my bosses and everything about this. And the person said, you know, and I wrote a letter to them. The person said, you know, I didn't mean anything by it. I'm not racist. My wife is of color. I mean, all of these things. But just to call somebody nappy-headed and you're not in their racial background. And even I would be offended if someone called me nappy-headed. And they were my color. But this is before the word nappy became, you know, nappy is now kind of cool. And even though I'm proud of my naps, I do have, I'll call them curls versus naps. But it's my, if I want to call myself nappy, that's my choice versus someone, especially outside of my racial background, to use the word nappy when they're referring to me. I just, that was bad to me. So for Orion to feel the way he felt in that scenario, I mean, who am I to judge his thoughts and mindset on that when someone's attacking? It feels like an attack on your culture. Now, with Lauren, again, she didn't say it. She repeated something that he, a slur, because they would talk, they were both talking about different slurs they heard in their communities. And she just repeated that slur. She said, oh, I see why they say this slur now. Excuse me, yes. I really can't judge either way on that situation. Just want to give a little personal insights on my thoughts on that. With Brennan and Emily, Brennan did seem very, like, standoffish, but when he was in front of the experts and the therapy and all the things they had to do, he was like acting like he was a perfect everything. But he was very, like, to me, he would be a person that avoids a lot of things, and just he already friend zoned her in a way, and he just tried to avoid any other type of intimate contact with her or connection with her. He was being cordial and civil and acted as if he was trying, but he really just kind of, to me, I think, friend zoned her very early on. Said there was a lack of attraction. So he really wasn't giving her a chance. Again, all these people in this group appear to be attractive, but you know, everyone has their preferences of what they like and what they are more into. And one thing about Michael and Chloe, Michael, he had a very different and unique style. He has his hair kind of curly, dark hair, kind of cut to the side. The sides are kind of off, and then a lot of it is going to one side, but it was this one string coming off on the other side that was just annoying me so much. And I think by the time decision day came, he got rid of that little piece that was always hanging off to the side. I don't know, I just had to mention that that was kind of annoying to me and not really super important. But for me, again, everyone was attractive in their own way. There was no one to me that was completely unattractive. And again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and everybody has their own tendency to like what they like or be into what they're into. Again, it really goes to show you what marriage might be. And you know, visuals are important. You're going to be looking at this person for the rest of your life, so you should be with someone that you have a physical connection with. For most part, everyone seemed to be physically, at least physically compatible, and verbally they were stating so. Except for Brennan and Emily, he just verbally was saying, you know, I'm not really attracted to her. Not really sure why. Maybe he's not into blondes. I don't know. Austin and Rebecca, again, they are attracted to each other, but he was really slow when it came to romance. And I think Rebecca wanted to consummate, and he just was really slow to do that. I don't know if it even ever happened. They kept trying different things, and it looks like they almost were, but they didn't. So that to me is unclear. At the time I'm recording this, they are going to have a tell-all within a couple of weeks or so. So we'll see if there's any more information to report on that. But that's just my main take of these couples and how, you know, in this season, no one's relationship made it. Even the person, the one couple that looked like they were going to make it, even they failed to stay married And even the experts were saddened by this, and they probably feel like complete failures for this season. And I don't know if this is a first for the show or not. I should do some research on that, but it gives you a sense of hopelessness. Like, I'm always talking about faith, love, and trends on here, always rooting for marriage. And when I'm talking about 90 days, some of these couples seem like they're going through turmoil. Some of them seem to be toxic. Some of them have major issues, but some of them come out in the end. They may have issues, but they stick it out. They stay together. They at least make it work, or try to make it work. They at least get married and try to give the marriage a try. But to see all the couples kind of fail and falter in this experiment, it really, to me, I think it's also an effect of our day and time, where many people are not getting married, not wanting to get married. They are choosing to have long-term relationships, live together. And at times when they do marry, they end up getting divorced. So I don't know if this is a reflection of the day and time that we live in, or if this just happens to be a set of people that just weren't meant to be. I don't want to blame the experts, but it's disheartening to see all these people just get married and then get divorced. And you can see for some of them, the fact that they were getting divorced weighed on them, and especially Orion and Lauren, where she barely had a chance to redeem herself with him, and she just has to go straight to the divorce without even fully unpacking who he is, without making even more connections that needed to be made to understand each other. So it was hard for some of them to do that. With Austin and Rebecca was the one in the end that decided to let go of Austin because she believed he was in it more for what she called the optics, or being on camera. Maybe she thought he saw a career for himself in this arena, and this was really his focus versus them being happy together, that being their focus. And she really tried to say at the end of the day, amicably, that she just wasn't the right person for him, so she's gonna step back so he can find the right woman. But he didn't call off. In the end, she just didn't trust her connection with him and felt that it was some falsehoods within it. And because originally on decision day, they did say that they were going to stay together. But the next time they met, Rebecca kind of reneged on that and felt like there were some false things going on in the background. So they gave us a little bit of hope and then took it away. And they did the same thing with Michael and Chloe. And I mean, they made those decisions, though. I can't say they did it the show, but you know the way they edit things. But these couples just decided that it was not meant to be. So that's the end of the day. Married at First Sight, season 17. My takeaway is it's a little bit sad. I think it's important to do what's best, but to play games with marriage, to me, at the end of the day, it's not a game. It's not something that you play with. Even though I do like this show and I respect what they're trying to do, I feel like the people are just not given enough time. And I know back in the day when people used to arrange marriages, they would make it work for a lifetime. Even though they were dealing with sometimes troubled people, they would find some type of way to make it work. And sometimes it was toxic and it probably should have been ended. But it just seems like at that time, people just really worked harder to make things work. They were maybe more willing to compromise one or the other person. And now it's just, to me, a more self-centered dynamic of our world and how we move and how we fit. I think Michael was afraid to lose his freedom. He was afraid to possibly step up and take care of the duties of as the husband, and not just to think about you know, his own desires, his career, what he wanted to do, but had to think of this other person. And I think that was kind of what scared him. We are in a selfie type of generation. And if it doesn't suit me, if it doesn't please me, then I'm not a part of it. And I'm going to let that go. No self-sacrifice here anymore. And I can say that's probably true with people of all age ranges and all of that. Marriage has a whole different connotation now. People used to get married for stability. And sometimes they still do. But a lot of times people are able to kind of make their own way or find some other way to do that. So they don't use marriage as an avenue for stability. You know, family is not that important to create a family if they want to be more self-oriented. A family can wait or may not come to be. Even though I do know there are couples that want families and aren't able to create them. It's just, I think our world has changed in a lot of ways, and I think this is just somewhat of a reflection of what that looks like. Is there possibilities for redemption? Sure, 90 Day Fiancé kind of shows you that, but I feel like in a way that show is also marriage by resource, marriage by need. Many times these couples, one of the people want to come to America, one of the people wants some level of stability or something different. So even though they may care for each other and even love each other, there's another need usually underneath that that causes them to stay within the relationship and to marry. And the laws of the land kind of force them to do so if they want to be an American citizen. So that's an underlying thing and theme of that show versus you're basically dealing with American couples here that just either have made the decision to give marriage a try and see if it works out. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Again, I do prefer the Love is Blind tactic because at least you go through the process, you don't see the person, you end up seeing the person, you may not be attracted to them, but you continue the journey. You go all the way up to the altar with them, but at least you can walk away from that altar without signing that marriage paper. And I think it's a safer way to go if you want to get on a show like this and try to give marriage a try. Love is Blind is probably a little bit more of a safer place to do it. It's still not safe. You're making commitment to somebody to possibly marry them. There's a lot at stake emotionally and in other levels, so it's still a lot at stake, but you don't have to sign that paper if you're not ready to sign that paper and make it official. So it makes me even question the whole scenario of this show and the whole premise, and should this show continue? Should it come to an end? It's we're at season 17 here. Maybe they should end at season 20 and just call it a day. I don't know. But what are your thoughts as I close out? You know, this I went a little long here. Maybe been done a little rambling. But email me your thoughts at cbiztv@yahoo.com. That's cbiztv@yahoo.com. This is Irene. Faith, love, and trends. All the best and God bless. Thank you.